Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another broadcast of Real Life with Rich and Christ. It's a beautiful morning here in North Texas. Sun shining, and it's nice and breezy and just beautiful. It's the end of summer here, maybe. I want to thank you for listening, tuning in today, because this show is like no other show in Christian media that you're ever going to hear. And I say that boldly and assuredly because I don't talk about what most in Christian media talk about, and that is what God is going to do for you, because really that's the maturity level of what most messages are in the church today. It's what God is going to do for you. Very few talk about the fact that God wants to use you up so he can do through you what he chooses to do through you when he wants to do it. And that's called the losing to gain life. That's when Paul says that he counts everything as loss in comparison to knowing Christ. And that's what I talk about, because there are lots of people right now in the church that are being deceived, lied to, used. And I'm not saying that all of that is happening deliberately by the people that are doing it to them, but it is happening nonetheless. And the reason it is because if you start out going one direction, you just don't turn and go another direction without turning. And the church is going one direction, and most of it is not the right direction. Because most of the church is still immersed in what I call a Jesus for me way of looking at Christianity. By Jesus for me, I mean, you know, it's all about being blessed. It's all about, you know, feeling God. It's all about trying to please God and trying to be acceptable to God, and that's really where the church is. And that's not where Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is where he's been since the day that he came in to make his residence in you, and he's not left. He's not moved one bit. But he will let you wear yourself out in that different gospel lie. And then when you're completely wore out, burned out, I mean, to the point where you're ready to walk away from everything, which is exactly where he wants you to be, by the way. If you look at the accounts in the Bible of the men of God, that the trials and the tribulations and the testings that they went through, and what God did in and through them during, you know, before, during, and after those same testings, well, then, why wouldn't he do the same thing in us? If his goal is still the same, if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then why wouldn't his goal be to take us to the end of a limited way of seeing God and seeing ourselves so we can see ourselves exactly as he wants, as he ordained for us to see him from the foundation of the world? John 15:5 is a signature verse of our ministry. A couple years ago, our ministry partner, Joan Riley, the co-founder of Rich in Christ Ministries, her son put together a beautiful logo for us that we're going to use at some point in time, hopefully, when God chooses to expand this little three-stranded cord. And it's Rich in Christ in the form of a vine branch. You can see it on the back of my book. And it's John 15:5. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. And if you abide in me and I abide in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so everything about our life is to take us to that apart from me, you can do nothing way of seeing. That's what real Christianity is. Philippians 3:15-16 is a wonderful verse that if you can grasp the meaning of it, God showed it to me about 15 years ago. It's tucked into that powerful chapter 3 of Philippians. And it's verse 15 and 16, and it says, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too, God will make it clear. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. And what God showed me in that is because I learned that, I saw that, I discovered that. He brought that to me at a point in time when I was trying and I was striving to find out what it is God had for me, what his will for my life was, where he wanted me to go, what direction he was pointing me. And when I read that verse and I grasped what it meant, I saw that I don't have to run after clarity anymore. I don't have to run after God and try to cajole him and try to bargain with him on what it is that is his will for my life, because it says it right there. All of us who are mature, you've got to have a certain maturity level to see this, okay? Not infant. It's not for infants. It's not for novices. It's not for newborns. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Well, what's the view? Well, read Philippians 1-14, and you'll see the view. And it's Paul going through the trials and to the preparation of seeing only God in all things. That's what it comes down to. The high calling. And so all of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently. Well, you know, over in Matthew 6:25, the Bible says, take not a thought for your life. So if you're thinking your Christian life and you're trying to figure out your Christian life, then you're thinking differently. Because as the container, as the branch, the vessel, the temple, the lamp of God, we're doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing. We're being the container of God. The temple of God is not for the outward adornment of the temple. Okay? Mr. Joel Osteen and T.D. Jakes and all of the other so-called teachers and leaders in the Christian church today. I wonder if they ever read, I think it's in Haggai, where it talks about the temple being rebuilt after it was destroyed. And there's a verse in there, it's a beautiful verse, I think it might be Hosea. And it says, the young man rejoiced over the temple, and the old man wept. Same temple. Two different reactions. Because the old man, who were focused on the outward adornment of the temple, we're talking about Solomon's temple, and all of its opulence and beauty. The young men were just thrilled because without the temple, there was no dwelling place of God. The young men were just thrilled that the temple was rebuilt so that God had a place to dwell. And it doesn't matter what your temple looks like. It doesn't matter what state your temple is in today. If your temple is depressed, if your temple is lonely or broken or broke, if you're losing everything, if you've lost your job, if you've got a debilitating illness, or you know somebody close to you who does, it doesn't matter because you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're the place God has chosen to dwell, and it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the place that God has to have to dwell. If he doesn't dwell through you, who's he going to dwell through? Is he going to dwell through the people that are resisting him? There's a passage, there's a verse, I read it to a friend of mine this week, and it talks about, Jesus talks about, you're always resisting the Holy Spirit. And I can't pinpoint where it is, but if you Google that right there, you'll find it. You're always resisting the Holy Spirit. Each of them has gone their own way. They're all together corrupt. There's no one who does good. Not even one. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're the dwelling place of God. You contain him in his fullness. You have been given everything right now already pertaining to life and godliness. And I'm not talking about the godliness according to the church's definition, where you try to be godly. I'm talking about the godly one who is living through you, because he's the only godly one there is. And you've been given everything pertaining to life, Christ, and godliness, Christ. Because Christ is your life. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear also with him in glory. That glory is now. That glory is not the sweet by and by that the church has convinced us is this future event where the rapture and the second coming and the tribulation and all the other stuff that's supposed to be coming down the road, where they have their focus. Because you know what? If their focus is there, their focus is not on Jesus Christ, because we have a single eye towards him alone. You can only serve and worship one God at a time. And so you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that I'm the vine and you're the branch. The branch receives its life from the vine. And the purpose of the branch is to be the vehicle for the life of the vine to flow through, to produce fruit. And here's the kicker. The fruit is for others. This is maturity. This is a message of maturity. It's not a message of Jesus for me. And so you're the branch. You're the channel of his life. And wherever you go, you produce fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. And he says his goal in you is that you bear fruit. You bear much fruit, and that fruit remains. And that's what John 15 is all about. It's about showing us that we are nothing apart from him. And the branch doesn't sit suspended next to the tree trunk or the vine. It's attached. We're attached to Christ. There's no separation. There's no division. There's no distinction between us and him. Jesus, one of the disciples said to Jesus one day, "Show us the Father." He said, "Okay. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Because they had heard about the Father from the Pharisees for 400 years plus. And all of that stuff was what was, they were seeing Jesus, and it was being filtered through all of that stuff of the Pharisees. And everything he was talking about didn't look at all like the God of the Pharisees. So one of them said, "Show us the Father." You're looking at him. And Jesus looks at us and he says, "I am Christ in you. You're the container. You're the branch. You're the temple. We're the vessel." Says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Earthen. We're made out of the natural material. And the treasure is not the natural material. The treasure is what's inside of it. I've got a cup over here right now. It's got coffee in it. That cup was specifically designed to hold coffee. And there's other cups. There's cups out there that are designed to hold cold stuff. And I'm a cup. And I'm filled with him. And guess what? I'm not partially filled with him because I don't feel him today. I'm not partially filled with him because he's not working the way I think he should be working in my life. My mind is renewed to knowing that I am filled with him in the middle of whatever I'm going through right now, so humanity can see God in the midst of what I'm going through. Dave Wilkerson said, anybody can serve God when everything's going good. Anybody can serve God when the heat's not turned up. That's not faith, that's presumption. But living by the faith of the Son of God is where you no longer see a life other than His. Because it's His faith. We're the lamp. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Notice it said, thy word is not a floodlight or a million candle power flashlight. It's a lamp. It's just enough light for the next step. And that light is us. Because Jesus says, the Bible says, you are light in the Lord. In the Lord. You are light in the Lord. That tells me I'm a lamp. He is the light. And so He's given me just enough for today. Yesterday I wrote a passage and I talked about Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 3. Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 3 talks about the testings and the trial that God brings us into to make us hungry. And then He says, not for the natural bread, not for what you think is going to satisfy your life, whatever that is, your whole goals, hopes, dreams, aspirations, your plans. He says, but that you might eat the manna that comes from heaven. And then this is awesome. He showed me this about 10, 12 years ago, longer than that. That you nor your fathers knew. In other words, you didn't know this manna, and neither did your fathers. It's generational, this blindness. It's generational blindness. That's what Moses is talking about. He fed you manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And if you go over to Deuteronomy 31, you'll see that every word is coming out of your mouth. That's the verse that says, you know, do not say that he's over here or over there. For the word of God is in your mouth and in your heart, that you may obey him. And the only obedience for the believer today, and there is no other obedience, allowing the Spirit of God to live his life in and through you by the faith of the Son of God. And there's no other Christianity that works. None. And so today, you're in the middle of the fire. You're in the middle of stuff that you can't control. And God has taken you somewhere where you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. And you're crying out to God because you love him with everything in you. You have a sincere hunger and love and desire for God. And then you go into an institution that sits on a corner on Main Street on Sunday, and you hear something other than what I just got done sharing with you. You hear a message about a punishing, disappointed, distant, impersonal, cruel taskmaster rather than a loving father. Because any father who would set out a plan for his son and then not give him the keys to that plan is a child abuser. And that's exactly what the different gospel law is. It's the mixed message of grace plus law, and it's dead. And it's the reason the church is dead. And it's the reason the church is an ineffectual embarrassment in society today, a complete embarrassment. And if you don't believe me, turn on the Angel Network or TBN or any of the other, I don't even want to call them Christian shows. And so you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God loves dwelling in that temple. So much so that Jesus threw everything out of that temple that wasn't him. That's what the story of the money changers is. It's not about money. It's a picture of who is living in that temple. Jesus was in the temple, clearing out everything that wasn't him. And he's doing that same exact thing today. And he's doing it by taking you into the hard places. Because we have an ingrained, and it's ingrained so deep we can't even imagine. Because of Genesis 3:5, God complex. We have a God complex. We want God to serve us. We don't want to have to wait. We don't want to have to suffer. We want everything to be like utopia all the time. And I was talking to somebody last night on one of the threads about that very thing. And the thing is, when you lose your life, you gain his. And there's no other utopia except the life of Christ. And not the life of Christ sometime down the road. Not the life of Christ 5 years from now, or at the time of the quote-unquote rapture, or, you know, being changed in the twinkling of an eye. Being changed in the twinkling of an eye has nothing to do with relocating your body to another place. Being changed in the twinkling of an eye has to do with immediate revelation, taking you from darkness to light. That's what being changed in the twinkling of an eye is. Meeting him in the air. Air means breath. It means meeting him. He is in us. We breathe him. Jesus said, except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no part in me. Those are the words, in me. You can be around me. You can be for me. You can be all of the things that have to do with outward, an outward arm's length relationship. All of those things are made available to you. But unless you eat of his body and drink of his blood, you have no part in him. There's no union. There's no oneness. The New Age movement, whatever that you call that today, has stolen the word oneness from Christianity. And everybody cringes when they hear it. Oh, oneness. All it means is John 17, if you read it, that they may be one even as you and I are one, Father. I and me and you and them and us. That's what he meant. Oneness. No more wondering if God loves you or if God is for you. You can look at Romans 7. And you can see the account of a man. I call him the doer of all doers, the Pharisee of Pharisees, a Hebrew of Hebrews, whatever you want to call him. And you can see where God opens his eyes to the revelation of Christ in him. And the next thing he writes in Romans 8:1 is there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus is the key. If you see yourself outside of Christ Jesus, you get all kinds of condemnation. If you see yourself outside of Christ, there's nothing but condemnation. And it's coming from the thing that you're embracing. It's coming from the light that you're calling light that is really black as darkness. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God has chosen to dwell in you, through you, for others. And that is your call. That's the call to the body of Christ. There is no other call. There is no other ministry other than the ministry of reconciliation. Be reconciled to God. That is the only ministry that is really a ministry for the mature believer today. Be reconciled to God. Be, not do, be reconciled to God. Receive that It's coming from Him. Receive it. Release what you're holding on to right now. Open up your hands. Put your hands out in front of you, your clenched fists. You're holding on to your life. You're holding on to your house. You're holding on to your job. You're holding on to your plans, and you're saying, this is what God is going to bless me with. Open your hands right now and say, it's all yours, God. I give it up. I release it to you. I'm receiving this word from Rich today that I am just the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm that dwelling place, God, that you want to dwell in and through. But as long as I'm working, you're going to rest. And when I rest, the Spirit of God, who's at work within us, for God is at work within us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. The Spirit is the worker. We were created to rest in Him, not strive, not wear ourselves out, trying to find God who found us a long time ago. Release what you're holding on to and just rest. Do what it says in John 15. Abide. Live there. Live there in Christ. Even if you can't see it, live there by the faith of the Son of God in you. A bruised reed He will not break, and a smoldering wick He will not snuff out. That is a beautiful passage that says God is never going to fail you or give up on you. Never. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you my rest. And then receive. Once you release everything you're holding on to and you're resting in Him by the faith of the Son of God who's living in and through you, you put yourself in a position to receive the next thing, whatever that is. And you call it Him. Good, bad, or indifferent. Because you now know that your Father loves you and your Father is not going to give you a snake when you ask for a piece of bread. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's living in you, and He's living as you, right here and right now. And He couldn't be more pleased for you to know that today. Father, I just thank you and praise you, God, for this opportunity, Lord, to minister your life. For you, God, to speak and say what you want to say, because this isn't canned or planned. I didn't know what was yet. I was clueless. And I'm asking now, Lord, that you unstop the ears, open the eyes of the hearers, Lord, so they can hear this message of freedom, so they can know it's for freedom that they were made free. And God, let them know that whatever situation they're in right now, because I'm in it with them. I've got stuff going on in the next week that I don't want to deal with. I'm not here talking about stuff without experiencing it. I'm going through it because that's what leaders do. They go through it and then they share it with the people they love so that the people that they love know that there's hope. And God, we just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Lord, this is, guys, this is Rich in Christ, Real Life with Rich in Christ. I've got a free devotional. It's a 31-day Deeper Life devotional. We're giving it to anyone on the planet. All you have to do is leave your name and address in a private message on Facebook, Rich Novek, N-O-V-E-K. And until next week. God bless you.